Lord, we just thank you that just the way you line things up, that we've been able to call Kate and we've been able to catch her at a time when she's able to share her heart about this festival. And Lord, I just, when I look over it, I love everything about it, Lord, that gathering your people together, all kinds of diverse people, from people who eat barbecue to people who eat Mexican to people who love soda, people who love kids, people who love music. And Lord, we know that you're going to use all these things for your glory. And I just pray that you would give Kate and her family perseverance and strength as they prepare for this, as they get ready for this. And Lord, I pray that, I know that last year they said they didn't make a dime. Well, Lord, I pray this year that they would make piles of dimes. And Lord, not so that they can become rich or anything like that, but Lord, so that this thing can keep going. Lord, we pray that just the good things that come out of people's hearts would be, Lord, they would just be encouraged, they would be given provision, they would be given strength, Lord, that, Lord, you would put your full measure, your full weight behind it, and, Lord, you would pour into it, and there would be fruit that would be just amazing, amazing testimonies. And, Lord, I thank you, too, just for Kate and her family's position, that saying no to certain things, Lord, that might even be profitable, because they're not profitable when we gather families together. So, Lord, I just thank you. We praise you. We praise you for Kate and just the vision you've given her for the Homosoda Festival. And we just pray that it be for your glory and for your great name. Amen.
And all of God's people said amen. Welcome, Great News Radio listener, to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's May 28th, 2014, and I'll qualify this program. We've only given Kate about 5 minutes' notice. As Jason came to the studio moments ago, he said, hey, do you got plans for this Saturday? The Homer Soda Festival is coming to Homer, Illinois. It's going to be a great event. And I said, oh, the singing men are singing at the women's prison. And he said, oh, you got to talk with Kate and the organizers. This is such a great event. So on the fly, I just called you up, Kate, said, can you get to a landline? So you've had about 4 or 5 minutes notice, but what's happening this Saturday in Homer, Illinois?
Well, thank you so much for having me on, Mark and Jason. I appreciate being on Great News Radio. And, you know, this Saturday, it's going to be a really big day for Homer. You know, Homer only has about a population of 1,100 people, give or take. So when you put in the Homer Soda Fest, and last year we had 3,000 to 5,000 people, it's a happening.
Now, what's neat about some of the story and the behind-the-scenes work is you're a believer, a follower of Jesus. In fact, I just learned moments ago that you've been affiliated with WBGL, and you volunteered and were staff there. And so you have your own little faith journey. I know you've been married for 14 years. You have 5 children that you homeschool. But maybe share, before we get into all the happenings at the Homer Soda Festival and how you became the owner of Homer Soda Company, and you're currently the director of the Homer Soda Festival, but do you mind sharing a little of your faith journey?
No, sure. For me, growing up, we had our own business, and it was a family business, kind of like the family farm, you know, but we actually manufactured products for Harley-Davidson. So growing up in an entrepreneurial family, you know, by the time I was 15, I was doing the payroll, and, you know, and by the time I was in college, I was doing all the books for the company. And when I met my husband, and he ended up working in the company, and we just have always done everything together as a family. After the first child, I stayed at home for the most part and just did the books, you know, once a week, and did all that, and it was good. And, you know, the Lord kind of started adding things in and adding opportunities in for our expanding of business. And as the children have gotten older, expanding into, instead of just being a stay-at-home mom, well, it's a kids come with me everywhere and experience this massive thing that we're doing now. And it's just been a really neat experience to have it happen. For the soda, that actually happened because there was a little store in downtown Homer. Now, mind you, I've been in Homer my entire life. It's a really small town. It's very typical for any towns in the Midwest. You know, population dwindles. It's dying. Main Street USA, you really can have a hard time even keeping businesses afloat. And there was a wonderful little shop there. They sold hundreds of different glass-bottled sodas. The owner was going to have to get a double hip replacement, and they're just going to close the store. And my husband and I were talking, and we're like, we can't let that close. That is such an asset to Homer, and it's such a neat thing. And, you know, how can we have it open? So my mom and I kind of brainstormed as to, okay, well, we could do this, and if it's staffed on these days, and we kind of take the kids down there other days. And anyway, that was about 6 years ago now, and it's still going because of our experience with manufacturing business growing up with, we had extra warehouse space and we had fork trucks. So we said, you know, let's expand this. Let's start to wholesale. You know, this still was, you know, wholesaling. It was kind of helping us to get better rates for bringing soda into our Homer store. And this was mainly just a hobby that I was doing to try and help out the town. But it just grew. And I kept saying, Lord, this is a little too much work. I didn't really plan for this. But, you know, God just kind of kept telling us that we just need to keep doing it. And it's a lot of work, and it's a lot that's going on. But, you know, our kids are learning so much through it, and it's doing a lot for the town. And so we just said, okay, it's a lot of work, but this is something that God's doing. And with hardly any advertising, without really any going out there, our business grew from just like 10 wholesale customers to now we have over 150 wholesale customers all across the country. And if you grab a Food Network magazine this month, they actually interviewed me, and I'm in Food Network magazine. So it's just, it's one of those things. It's like, I don't know how they find us. I don't know how God's doing it. And my husband and I constantly just sit there and look at each other like, well, that was interesting. I guess we're on another ride.
Hey, speaking of your husband and your five children, what are their ages? And is there a little love story on how you met up and he became a part of the Homer Soda Company?
Yes. Well, our children are ages 10. I'm sorry. She just turned 11 today. So we have actually a 12-year-old, 11-year-old. It's her birthday today. A 8 and 5 and almost 3. Hmm. And I hesitate on their birthdays because their birthdays are all within a month of each other, and I tend to round up. But yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I was actually homeschooled myself all the way through, and I was adamant on, well, at that time, following like the Joshua Harris kind of a thing and only courting. And so that was my decision to do that. And so I didn't actually meet my husband until I was 18, and I was at Parkland. And we met and we talked, and he wanted to study together, which my parents were like, yeah, right. So he wanted to study. It was coming to our house. And he'd come over and we'd study, and then he started coming over every weekend. And finally my parents pulled him aside and they said, look, if you have any intentions on Kate, we have to talk to us first. And so they had a long discussion, and eventually he decided that, okay, maybe this is worth pursuing, because, you know, it's a little scary when the parents sit down and talk to you, but he was thought that I'd be worth doing that for, and so we started courting, and I think he was shocked to be the first person to hold my hand, and, you know, we courted for 2 years, and, you know, it was the best thing we ever did. We kept thinking, well, should we do this with our kids? I mean, it definitely is against the norm, but it worked pretty good for us, so I think we're set on that.
And is he a local? Was he from the Homer area?
Well, you know, he was born in Springfield, Illinois, but his dad took jobs everywhere, and so they lived everywhere. And then he joined the military. He was in the Marine Corps, so he lived everywhere. But his grandparents lived in Mahomet. And he told me, this is one of the things that drew me to him in the first place, is he said, you know, his mom and dad are divorced, and they both live in California, and his grandparents are here alone, and they're in their 80s. And he said, I want to move back here because they're not going to be here for very long, and I want to spend every minute I can with them. And I want to be here to take care of them when they have issues, since there's no one else here. And I thought, if he has enough maturity at 23 to do that and to have that kind of, you know, wisdom, you know, that's somebody that really got my attention. Mm. So, yeah, so he wasn't really from here, but he had a lot of roots here. And this is the longest he's ever lived in any place, and we've definitely got him accustomed to small-town living, so...
Well, you're ringing our bells. And in fact, I'm a little choked up. I love your integrity, your desire to please the Lord, your desire to keep those traditional roots that more people would court and have their parents involved in the relationships while they're maybe dating or looking at a prospective relationship that could be ongoing, leading towards marriage, that you've homeschooled, that you care about the small town, that you're being innovative in ways to keep that little storefront going or to help the community. Community. I mean, Jason has spoken before in the past, how can we do that in Mahomet, where he lives?
Yeah.
How can we bring wholesome, good family-friendly businesses into the community? And it sounds like you're doing all the right things. I know you're following the Lord as you and your husband have prayed over the decisions, because there's a huge stress and workload when you're entrepreneurial and you're running your own business. So it seems like you're doing just all the right things. So kudos, Kate.
Well, it is. it is, you know, and I mean, and to be honest, especially growing up as homeschooled, really traditional, you see these things that the Lord is clearly telling you to do, and it's not what you've envisioned that your life would be like. And that's, it's hard because you're taking a path that not very many people take, and especially when there's so much workload with this kind of a thing. And you do, you question yourself, and then, you know, you see God come through in absolutely miraculous ways, and you're like, okay, I got to stop questioning myself. I know I'm doing exactly what God's planning for it. And, you know, the Soda Festival was one of those things. I used to plan events for the town, and I started helping with that when I was 15. And, you know, I was president of the rec board when I was 18, 19. And I always thought, you know, it would be so cool if Homer could have something like the Bagel Fest or the Broomcorn Festival or something. But, you know, there just wasn't anything unique. And after this lovely family opened the soda company, I thought, oh, my goodness, there needs to be a soda festival. And it took that long for us to say, all right, let's actually do this. You know, we expected maybe 500, maybe 1,000 people at tops to show up. And we were dumbfounded. I mean, we pre-sold tickets to Kentucky and Ohio and Wisconsin, and we thought, oh, wow, this is something that can be a legacy for Homer for a long time. This is something that really is going to be good.
Yeah, what's funny is my family and I were just on vacation not too long ago, and we were down south. And I'm just going to tell you, I have a soft spot for an ice-cold glass-bottled soda. And so we would stop in these little, like, towns with the general store, and I would go in and get, you know, I saw on your website you're going to have cheer wine, which is like a favorite. I grew to love that while I was on vacation. But there's just something special about that. So I think that there's a lot more people who are invested, who want to experience it, than maybe even we know. And so that's one of the reasons that I was just like, Mark, you've got to talk to Kate. We've got to do this, because I think that this is great. But something I want to touch on, because my wife said this morning, again, she was looking at the website because she was telling, you know, again, we're planning, we're talking about her birthday. And she's saying, you know, I just love that there's no alcohol here. And she said, there's a lot of money to be made through the sale of alcohol. So could you share with, I mean, what drove you to that decision? Because that's unique. Most festivals, town things you go to, street fairs, those kinds of things, alcohol is the predominant thing being sold.
Yes. Well, it's true. You know, probably a lot like some of the other small towns, Homer actually was completely dry up until just a couple years ago. Mm. No alcohol was even sold in the entire town. So, you know, there's only one restaurant in town, and they have alcohol there, but no one has ever had alcohol at an event. And when we first looked at doing the event, again, I've never heard of a festival without alcohol. And so we kind of talked about it, and we talked to the business owners, and everybody's like, you know, Homer has never had alcohol. We don't want to be the first ones doing it. And so we kind of thought, well, okay, Lord, you know what's going on. I guess there's not going to be anything, and we're just going to trust that it's going to work out. And it did. So many people were so glad. I thought that would have so many people complaining. I didn't get a single complaint from anyone. Everybody was thrilled that there was no alcohol. So we thought, okay, this is exactly the direction the Lord's going. You know, it's, again, it's something that is counterintuitive, is not something that you would think, oh, hey, I'm going to have a great festival. I think I'm not going to have alcohol there. but God knew what he was doing, and everybody loved it. So,
And what's neat and special is you didn't compromise, because I know how events work. You can get Budweiser or whatever, different brands to sponsor. Hey, we'll kick in $1,000. We'll provide this free signage, all those incidentals that cost a lot of money behind the scenes. They'll provide free of charge if they get, right, you know, a key booth. And so thank you, God, that you're keeping it family friendly. And I know you said you're not out to make money. You want to just help the community, but you're going to provide a lot of different things for people to enjoy, to sample. I know Jason, in light of Tasha's birthday being Sunday, he's already purchased some VIP tickets. So talk about how people can get involved, because this is your second, and I guess we'd say annual, because you're going to continue doing this, but last year was the first time, and then maybe next year we can plan, Great News Radio can be more involved, have a booth there, and maybe even the Singing Men sing. But tell us some of the nuts and bolts, how people can purchase tickets in advance, what to expect, and how to bring their family.
So basically, what kind of started with this is that we have 250 different sodas in the store. And although that is so cool, neat, and interesting, there still is a lot of people who come in and they're like, Yeah, I'm not sure if I want to buy that bottle of prickly pear soda. I'm not going to take a chance on it. So we thought, well, if we have an event, we can go and taste all of these sodas. You're only drinking an ounce. You can see if you like it or not. If you like it, great. Maybe it's your new favorite soda. If you don't like it, hey, it's only been an ounce. So what we do is you can either, to make it affordable, it's a quarter of tasting. So you can just go and get a roll of tickets and go around and just use a ticket at tasting and try whatever ones you want. Or you can get a VIP pass. And the VIP pass gets you a cloth six-pack holder with Green River's name on it and also a commemorative glass tasting cup and an unlimited tastings throughout the day. So you can walk around with that. You can, obviously, you keep your swag, and then you can have unlimited tastings.
And after all those tastings, you walk with a little swagger.
Well, yeah, exactly. We're going to start jumping and bouncing off the walls after that much sugar, but, you know.
And what's unique about the sodas that you sell, they're all natural, right? Can you help us and maybe help our listeners understand the differences between the sodas you're selling and the sodas that maybe we might find in a traditional soda aisle?
Sure. You know, the bottlers that we buy from, almost all of them have been bottling for generations. These are the small town bottlers who have been there for years. They seldom sell outside of their county, but they're using the original formula. And so I would say 90% of them are all cane sugar sodas. And so they're GMO-free. There's no high fructose corn syrup. The other great thing, if you've got kids and you've heard about the BPA, they're not in plastic, so you're not having the leaching of chemicals from the plastic and because of their glass. So in a lot of ways, they're definitely, you know, I'm a little bit of a health nut, and we don't buy soda and put it in our fridge. What these sodas are for is more of, if you're going to treat yourself to this. You know, and in other words, like, if I'm dieting, I'm watching my calories, I'm not going to waste my 120 calories on a name brand soda in the plastic with the high fructose corn syrup. I want to waste my calories on something that has a tremendous amount of flavor, that has the cane sugar, that doesn't have the BPA. And, you know, one is enough to fill you up, because when you have a cane sugar, it just fills you up more than it does with the empty calories of the high fructose corn syrup.
Hey, tell us a few of the varieties, some of the kind of crazy tastes and some of the more traditional, obviously the root beer and the orange, but tell us some of them.
Yes, well, I think there's 35 different root beers. Interesting thing about root beers is that if you get a root beer from the East Coast, they actually are less sweet. They're very dry tasting. It's used like a wine term. You know, it's a very dry tasting root beer. It's not that really syrupy that the Midwest often tends to like. So even just going down the whole flight of root beers, it's interesting to taste the different regions in which ones taste different. Some of the neat ones we're going to have, though, is a coffee soda. That one is bottled in Massachusetts. They've been bottling it since 1935. It was formulated originally for Macy's in New York City, and they would sell it in their little restaurant in the department store. And there's actually advertisement that we have on our website, homersoda.com, where I scanned it in there, which is how to make frappuccinos with this. And we're talking 1935. I mean, this is way ahead of their time period. And it's, again, it's not super sweet. It tastes fantastic, and they're way ahead of the curve. Some other good ones, if you're adventurous, there's one called Blenheim's. It's a really spicy ginger ale. It's bottled in a really tiny town in South Carolina, and they use real ginger, but it's so spicy that you would swear it has jalapenos or pepper sauce in it. It just absolutely accosts you. It's so spicy. But it's actually ginger, and they just put massive amounts of ginger in it. It'll burn your nose, but, you know, the people who love it absolutely love it.
I know Jason was bragging about this cream soda that he's tasted that he thinks so great. What was that, Jason?
I don't remember the brand, but I've never had cream soda that was that smooth and just ice cold. It was wonderful.
Oh, yeah. There are some absolutely wonderful cream sodas. You know, one of the interesting things is this little bottler that's in Massachusetts. Before we started buying from them, they never really sold anywhere. As a matter of fact, when I called her, she said, "How'd you even hear about us? You're in Illinois." I'm like, you know, there is an internet now, right?
Yeah.
And when we start carrying her stuff, we start sampling it before chefs. And then these chefs in downtown Chicago on the West Loop started tasting her cream soda, and they just think that it's the most fabulous cream soda they've ever had. It's dry, it's, you know, it's crisp, it's got this wonderful smooth taste, and that one is Simpson Springs cream soda. So it's one of our more popular ones now, at least among the chefs. So.
Well, boy, we could go on and on because there is so much to say. But, Kate, I'm always short of time, long-winded, short on time. It's like purgatory. But just a few things that people should know. Number one, you're going to have a cool stagecoach ride. There's going to be an antique car show, a barbecue cook-off. I saw on the website Toddler Town, you're going to have bounce houses. You're going to have inflatables where people can come. It's $1 to do it each time or $10 for the entire day. But can you give us where can people go? I heard you have 500 VIP tickets. How many are left? How much do they cost? Where can we go to get them? And just share with our listeners real quick, why should they be at Homer Soda Festival on Saturday?
Well, you know, what's interesting about Homer Soda Festival is different than other events is that it really hits all generations. You know, the seniors, they are able to taste and experience sodas from their childhood. The teenagers, I've heard Generation Y is the biggest generation that wants to try new things. And, of course, the parents and their children, I mean, what child doesn't want soda pop? And so, really, it brings all generations together. So if you come as the whole family, there's definitely going to be something that everyone will enjoy. To find out more, you can go to homersoda.com/fest. And it has all the festival information. We've already uploaded our festival guide, the schedule events for the day. If you would like to pre-buy the VIP tickets, you can get unlimited tickets throughout the day. We'll have those at a lesser price, but we only have 500 available, and I think that we're down to about 300 left. So last year we still had some on the festival day, but I can't guarantee there's still going to be some this year. So, and as you said before, you know, a lot of big events, they get these big sponsors who pay for everything. Because we are only a second-year event, we don't have any big sponsors. We have little sponsors. So that's where the VIP pass goes to help us cover the cost of the stage and all of the expenses of the day. So, and last year we almost broke even. So we're kind of hoping we're going to break even this year. It would be fabulous if we did. But, you know, like I said, we're doing it for the town and to add something to the community.
Well, I just want to say, I just want to challenge the Great News Radio listener right now to come out to the Homer Soda Festival from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. on May 31st. That's Saturday. You can go and have taste from Crownside Ice Cream, Bud's Barbecue, Burrito King, 250 different kinds of sodas. Go to the website that Kate gave us. Purchase your $20 VIP ticket. I want to hear on Saturday morning that there were no VIP tickets left and that there's going to be a massive amount of people, families gathered together drinking soda on Saturday, and no one's going to sleep Saturday night. It's going to be wonderful. So, Kate, we just... Kate, we just loved having you today. It was wonderful for you to be able to share your story with us.
No problem. Thank you so much for having us on. I appreciate it, Mark and Jason, and I appreciate Great News Radio doing what you guys are doing.
Hey, one last thing. Are there any booths still available for businesses to help supply volunteers? Like, I'm thinking of like Doug's Compounding Pharmacy in Paxton or something else. Are there any booths where you allow them to come and hand out literature and yet they get to serve with like a team of volunteers?
Actually, there aren't. You know, this is one of those God things. We were down 7 tents and I had 13 people. All in the same day, we found out that we had 13, and so then I ended up having too many booths. So we were, I was like, okay, God, I'm going to pray about it, and you double what I need, which is fantastic. Although we do need volunteers, you know, any ticket takers, anybody who'd like to come out and volunteer for the day. We have a couple of our soda bottlers, actually, who are going to be there, who requested if they can have a couple of volunteers to kind of be an extra set of hands. They would love it. One bottler is actually flying out from Washington State, who's coming out for the event. And, you know, so any of those. And next year, definitely, you know, what we're trying to do is to fill all of the soda tasting booths with not-for-profits. So that way they can help pour the soda and get the word out about the organization, which is, I think, a real win-win because, you know, typically, you know, I've been there before. I've manned booths for not-for-profits, and honestly, you're typically the boring booth. So by doing this, you get people to you, and you have a captive audience. You can tell them about your passion. You can tell them about your organization and your ministry, and, you know, it gives you an outlet to share about your ministry work.
Well, Kate, allow Great News Radio be the first initiating for next year. We'll have a presence there. there. We'll continue to promote this through the weekend. Listeners, you can go to homersoda.com, homersoda.com. You'll see a link for the festival. You can find out all the particulars. And it's actually, it'll be running from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. It's a family-friendly event. You can get VIP tickets and can find out more. And I guess if they can't make it to the festival this Saturday, you do have that shop open during the week in Homer?
We do, yeah. The stores open on Fridays and Saturdays from 10 until 5, and we have 250 different sodas there. It's great just to come out and get a six-pack for presents and barbecues and graduations and everything in between.
All right, Great News Radio listener, this Saturday, 10 to 7 p.m., there's a Homer Soda Festival happening in Homer, Illinois. This is the second annual. Let's appreciate Kate Boyer and her family and her commitment to keeping alcohol out of this and bringing a God-honoring event to help the town of Homer and to allow families to come together, families of all ages, senior saints to young little toddlers to enjoy a variety of sodas. You can get VIP tickets. Find out more at homersoda.com. And Kate, thanks for holding this, and Great News Radio will hopefully be involved in a big way next year.
That sounds fantastic. We look forward to it. Thanks for having me on.
Have a great day, Kate.
You too.
Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being involved in this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.